National End of Life Survey is the first time in Ereland that we have gone to bereaved people to invite them to tell us about their experience in the last months of life, looking at care provided in the home, nursing home, hospitals and hospices. So it's huge findings for the nation as a whole, and we can take these learnings to improve our services across all of these areas to improve that experience at the end of life.
Okay, so a huge survey, 4,500 bereaved family members and friends participated in this. What do the findings tell us?
So the findings told us, first of all, that most people were ill for 1 year or more. And in general, they were like 38% were aged between 80 and 89 years of age. So what the findings told us is that it's a very complex time, and that you get care in all the different settings that I have mentioned earlier, homes, hospices, hospitals, and nursing homes. And people move between these services. And so what the good experience was, and 89% said that they had good or very good experience, was the respect and dignity shown by staff to the person who died. They had huge confidence and trust in the healthcare staff, and they had clear explanations provided to their relatives and friends. Like the staff used languages and explanations that could be understood. In the last 2 days in particular, words like kindness and compassion were used, and the fact that staff did everything they could do to manage, you know, their friend or their relative's symptoms, such as nausea and constipation, etc., and, of course, pain management. But the areas that they'd like to see improved were around the continuity and availability and responsiveness between the services. And I suppose that reflects that pathway I mentioned earlier, that people are moving between these services and, you know, they want that knowledge moving with them about the care that they need and require.
Yeah, from that point of view, the survey found, like, interesting information that we kind of need to know. They talked about where people died. The most common place of death, almost 40%, was in a hospital, followed by a nursing home, then a home, and a hospice. So that gives you a picture of those four places. If you're transferring from one to the other, depending on your illness, what the connection is between those, I suppose.
Exactly. And I mean, just for your listeners to give an example, perhaps if I took nursing homes, 1,600 people were receiving care in the last 3 months of life. But of those, you know, 20% went to hospitals, 5% to hospices, and 2% went to home for the last few days of life. So people are moving and they need care as they're moving in and out of these services. So they'd like that information, as I say, to go with them. In the home, what we found is that, again, you know, the public health nurse and the GPs were the most likely to provide care. And to access GPs sometimes out of hours was difficult. So that is something, again, that, you know, as a nation we could look at and see how we could improve.
Yeah.
And also in the home, that, you know, they found that the healthcare staff weren't as able to support their relative or friend with emotional needs. So that was something else that they reported on.
Yeah, yeah. And look, while you said, look, a huge level of positivity in terms of people who felt it was very good or good in terms of the end of care. But it's a complex area, and will these findings help us develop, I suppose, a better system, even in terms of people's own desires, like, I want to die at home? You might have that desire, and some might have that, you know, facility for various different reasons to do it. But then clinicians come in and doctors have to make a call on what's appropriate and what the person needs at the time. All of that area, it's complicated. Each individual case has got its own circumstances. So that's an area that needs to be looked at as well.
Absolutely. And if nothing else, this survey does show us that it is a very individual experience, and that people do need to go to the different services depending on the type of care that they require at that point in their life. But I would say that the findings are being taken by a number of kind of organizations. So this is run by the National Care Experience Program. It's a partnership program between the Department of Health, the Health Service Executive, and the Health Information and Quality Authority. So the Health Service Executive came out with what they are going to do with these findings, and you can find that on yourexperience.ie this morning. The Department of Health will take these findings and use them to inform policy and legislation, and the Health Information and Quality Authority will take them to inform standards. And we were hugely supported by the Irish Hospice Foundation in this. And I know that they are very much taking these findings and using them in all aspects of their work. So, and you can also see responses from Nursing Home Ireland and Cala Care, you know, who are responsible for supporting the nursing homes in the system. So, huge learnings, as I say, and we've brought these findings across the board so everybody's aware of them and that they're actioning them to improve services for all.
Yeah, and will this inform as well the overall issue? And again, it's a complex issue of, look, in Ireland, people are getting older, the population is getting older, people are living longer, which is a positive, but sometimes they have more complex medical needs. The whole area of where someone spends their final few years, I suppose, whether they can do it at home, whether it's in a nursing home, whether it's in a step-down facility, the amount of time they spend in acute hospitals versus maybe a more appropriate situation for their age or their medical needs, all of that, I suppose, will benefit from this as well?
Absolutely. As I said, this has never been done before. So this is huge evidence for everybody involved in palliative care and end-of-life care to inform how best to provide the services to improve experiences for everybody involved, because this is the voice of the people who, you know, have, you know, been through that journey in the last, you know, in the last year, and they've told us what they see is working really well, and we can see it's confidence and trust, respect and dignity, communication, and what they would like to see improved, which is that kind of access to out-of-hour services, continuity of care, and better communication across the services.
Yeah, yeah, and that's it. One of the findings as well showed, and you talked about that transfer between two, that, you know, a good portion of people who did pass away received care in more than one setting in their last months and days, that there would have been that issue of a transfer from one location to another.
Yes, absolutely. And you can see it across the board. For example, if somebody was getting care in a hospital in the last 3 months of life, we can see that 15% of those people passed away at home, and 14% in a nursing home. So again, people are moving around all the time between the services, and they'd like to see better coordination of care between that movement around, and, you know, better communication. But what the service that is provided is phenomenal, and they have, you know, spoken to the respect and dignity that is shown, you know, and that the spiritual needs are met, and the physical environment is very important, because, you know, it comes across quite clearly that if you have your own room and you can bring in your own belongings, your personal effects like photos and stuff, that of course is hugely beneficial, and it makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Finally, Tracy, this I know you're talking as well, and you're letting people know there's a bereavement support line, which is a national free phone service. There's the Samaritans as well, that help the family and friends deal with a bereavement. The experience that their loved one gets in the final few months or days or weeks, let's say, that plays a major role in I suppose, helping people, you know, move on or deal with grief, the grief that follows a passing, whatever the circumstances.
Absolutely, it does. And I suppose we didn't touch on that in this questionnaire. We looked at pain management, respect and dignity, that emotional support, which, again, as you say, it's really important. And one of the comments was that, you know, they are getting clear explanations provided to their friend or relative, that pain management, you know, everything was done, and you'd like to see that at the end of life.
If that's not being done right, that can add, or would add, I imagine, to the upset or the regret that someone would have following on from this. Okay, well, Tracy, listen, these findings, as you said, the different organisations inside our health service are going to work with those. Will you be doing more of these studies?
The benefit of these studies is to do them every few years, and then you can trend the improvements and maybe ask different questions that are pertinent to that time. So while a decision hasn't been made yet, I would imagine that we will be going again in a few years.
Okay, Tracy, thanks very much for talking to us about that this morning.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.